Okay, everybody, say it with me. God is all the time, and all the time God is. Amen. That's true. Well, some things to share with you before we start our message today. Next Sunday we're doing a kickoff of our prayer and fast. So it'll be a message about the surprising power of fasting and prayer. Surprising power of fasting and prayer. Preparing us for January when we'll be practicing praying and fasting throughout the month. Now let me share with you, if fasting is something you can't do food-wise, that's okay. Fast something else. Maybe it's television. Maybe it's Facebook. Maybe it's a game you play, whatever it be. And use that time to be in prayer with God. Christmas Breakthrough is about principles of breakthrough in our lives. We're finishing that series today. January will be specific areas of breakthrough. And so the four areas of breakthrough we'll be talking about next month is breakthrough habits. Anybody got a habit you need to break through? Yeah. Breakthrough worry. Do you worry? Breakthrough contentment. How do we choose to be content with what and how much God has given us? And then breakthrough significance. Are you worth something to someone? Are you worthy of love? These are basic but very important questions that human beings ask themselves on a regular basis. And when we can say that my first and most foremost significance is found in my Heavenly Father, that satisfies my needs for looking for significance from other things or other people. Not that we don't need each other. How many of you enjoy encouragement? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we still need that from each other, but not in the way we would need it in order to know I'm significant. And so we'll be talking about those four breakthroughs, personal ways you can break through habits, worry, contentment, and significance. Coming up January 6th, that's a Sunday, the first Sunday in January, in the evening, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Faith Center Church in Pendleton. We'll be going to there. I invite you to come with me to hear Mike Mercer, who is the founder of Compassion First. Compassion First is on our church missions budget. We've had them on the budget now for two or three years. And Mike came here one year and spoke with us. Just a wonderful, wonderful man. In fact, he shares an office in the same building with Louise Palau organization. And he knows Louise. Louise knows him. And they speak very highly of each other. So Mike Mercer is doing what he calls a Compassion First tour. He's touring around the country and stopping in Pendleton at the Faith Center Sunday, January 6th, 6:30 p.m. and be sharing the significant and incredible things God is doing in Indonesia in terms of freeing women and girls from the sex trafficking trade. It's exciting what God is doing. You don't want to miss how exciting that is. Compassion First is headquartered in Portland. And so we get a chance to go see them and hear them and meet the new pastor at Faith Center, Pastor Ray O'Grady, who was there many years, has retired. And Pastor Jeff is now there, and he's been there since June. And so come and meet him as well. Take your sermon outline out of your bulletin. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. There's Bibles in the pew pockets in front of you if you need one. If you don't own a Bible, take that Bible with you home. It's yours. Enjoy reading God's word. We want you to have that. So this is the last in our three-part series on God's gift to us, the gift of Christmas breakthrough. And this Christmas, we focus on the fact that Jesus came to break us away from sin's power through his death on the cross. He gave his life for you. Christmas breakthrough. So let's take a moment to review what we've learned so far, starting with John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, now that means we're at the wall around Jerusalem. The sheep gate is in the wall around Jerusalem. There at the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Colonnades are simply columns that are supporting some sort of a roof over the pool. Surrounded by five colonnades, here a great number of disabled people used to lie here in that spot. A great number of people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Excuse me. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in the condition for a long time, he asked him, what's the question? Do you want to be well? Sir, the man was respectful of Jesus. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred, and while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Excuse me, I gotta get my water. I got a tickle in my throat today. So he can't get into the water. Someone goes in ahead of him. Verse 8, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. Jesus said here, or John said here in this place, by the pool, the place where people were stuck went. People who had no hope. Perhaps. The only hope they had was maybe someday I'll get in the pool. And the tradition that the Jews had, this wasn't a fact of of scripture or history, but a tradition the Jews had was that they believed that when the water stirred, that meant an angel of God came and stirred the water. It was now healing water, and the first person in it would be healed. And so they came there every day. This man, every day, had somebody carry him to the pool, and he did that for many, many years. I think he would kind of feel like he's stuck. For us today, practicing sin is what makes us stuck. Things we need breakthrough from. Are you angry? Judgmental? Do you gossip? You know you're gossiping when the person you're talking about isn't near you, isn't in the room with you, you know. Yeah. Are you a liar? Do you lie to cover for yourself? Do you lie to get out of trouble? Do you stretch your stories to make them bigger or smaller than you want people to know? Are you sarcastic? Are you addicted to something? On that one, everybody raise your hand. From chocolate to work to games to whatever. There's every addiction under the sun. Our culture is a feel-good culture. Change how you feel is how we're told to deal with hard things, with places where we're stuck. feel good is how we deal with the symptoms of our sin. So we practice sin to feel better. And when sin no longer feels wrong, we have deceived ourselves into thinking that we have escaped sin because we feel better. It's a convoluted mess. Jesus asked the lame man, "Do you want to be well?" He didn't ask the man if he wanted to feel better. Think about our own prayers. How often do our prayers revolve around asking God to make something out of our lives less difficult? I've heard you pray. I have prayed things like this. "Lord, take this from me. Change my mind about this. Take this thought from me. I don't want to think it anymore. Lord, you do the work," is basically what we're telling God or asking of him. "You do the work. I just want to reap the rewards of you doing the work." The problem with this attitude is that we want God to change our circumstances more than we want him to change us. We have gotten pretty soft and lazy in our comfortable world. I remember, even as a little boy, watching television and the commercials. Oh, sorry. Everybody, please silence your phones. Yeah, on cue, yeah. I remember as a little boy watching television and watching about the new washers and dryers that were out there. You know, instead of the ones that my grandma had where they'd wash and then you'd put them through the wringer and try not to get your hands stuck in the wringer as the clothes went through and push the water out of the These are new. They will save you time. And every commercial about any appliance will tell you the same thing. It will save you time. How many of you have more time? I've not heard anybody say, "I'm glad I have all these appliances because now I have a lot more time." I don't hear people saying that. Where'd all the time go? We say, I don't have any time. Interesting. So, breakthrough, as we talk about the principles, breakthrough begins when excuses end. The man told Jesus why he could not get well. Jesus didn't ask him all that. "Tell me all the reasons why you can't get in the pool here. Let's figure this out." No. He just simply asked, "Do you want to be well?" "I can't get well because I have no one to help me. Someone else always gets in the pool before me." And we have our reasons and excuses. I think reasons is a better word than excuse, don't you? It's a reason. It's not an excuse. But we have our excuses about why we can't get well. "It's too hard. It will take too long. Maybe it costs too much money." Whatever it be, it's like saying to Jesus, "You can't fix this." The problem is that we live in a physical world. And in this physical world, we have learned the principles of how things work. "Jesus, I can't get in the pool. It doesn't work. It's never worked. I will be here forever. Just like this. I'm stuck." When we live in a physical world and we believe that the world has ultimate authority over us, we forget Jesus has ultimate authority, even over the world, disease. He has authority over everything. In fact, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, it says, God placed him, Jesus, over everything for the church. This is an exciting verse. Everybody smile right now. Okay, smile, because this is good. God has placed Jesus head of authority over, power over, everything that you are experiencing in life for the advancement, power, authority of the church, to advance the church in a world that's getting darker by the minute. You and I should never, ever again say, we can't. Because Jesus has ultimate authority over everything for the church. The man said, other people get in the pool before I do. I just don't have any reason to believe things will change. You need to transfer your trust from what you believe you cannot do to trusting what Jesus can do. I think we give lip service, don't we, to Jesus can do anything. How about Philippians 4:13? Everybody say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who. Amen. Now get up and believe it. We say it. We write songs about it. Does Jesus really make it so I can do all things through him? So breakthrough begins when excuses end. Breakthrough begins also when we trust it, our trust in Jesus begins. Do you believe Jesus understands why and where you are stuck? The bottom line is this. Will you meet Jesus and trust him to walk you out of your stuckness his way? That's the big question. We can say all kinds of things about what we believe about Jesus, but this is the one. Will you believe Jesus will get you out of your stuckness his way? Because he does have a his way for you. You ready? His way may not be what you like. It may be difficult. It may take a while. It may be something that maybe will make you feel like other people are watching and thinking I'm weird. The question he's asking you this Christmas, do you want to be well? Do you want to be well his way? Do you want to break through something that's been holding you back? Jesus knows what questions will reach the core of your heart. It's amazing. Read through just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read through that and write down every question Jesus asks. And you'll see how Jesus uses a question to get to the core of your need. And sometimes it takes a while. I've had Jesus ask me a question through Scripture that's rattled around in my brain for over a year, and finally it clicks. Oh, that's what you're going after. That's okay. I'm slow about sometimes getting what Jesus is shooting for in my heart. What does breakthrough his way look like? Well, it begins with realization that Jesus' plan is not to rescue us from uncomfortable circumstances, but to make us strong. Make your faith strong. Jesus is not about, oh, that's hard, let me move out of here's the comfortable spot. Now, sometimes that happens, but let's not demand that. Let's say, Jesus, wherever you need to take me for me to have breakthrough out of this, I'm willing to go. You place me wherever that needs to be. You teach me whatever I need to learn. You teach me what difference, the different things I need to do, what different beliefs I need to believe. You teach me, and no matter what it takes, I will go. That's what breakthrough looks like. Let's go back to John chapter 17, what I just read this morning. Now, I want you to hear Jesus' words. This is his prayer. The entire book or chapter of chapter 17 is Jesus' prayer to his Father, because he's preparing to leave, go back to his Father. The Holy Spirit is about to come and replace Jesus and be with them, the disciples. Jesus is praying for them. He says this, John 17, starting verse 14. I have given them, you, I've given you, He says, I've given them your word, God, and the world has hated them, for they are not of this world. Did you know that? You are not of this world. Jesus said, you are not of this world. And even more so, let's finish verse 14. They are not of this world any more than I am not of this world. Well, we would say Jesus is really not of this world. I mean, he didn't partake in what the world offered. But he says that about you. You are not of this world. Do you agree with him? You and I, we struggle with things. We practice sin. I know you don't like hearing that. I don't like hearing it, but it's true. We practice sin. We have things in our lives that we justify. This is okay. I can abuse my body if I want to because it tastes good or whatever. How many of you love dieting? Can't wait. Tomorrow I'm going to start dieting. You know what that means? Tomorrow never comes, right? No, I hate dieting. But I think I could do a lifestyle change. You are not of this world. Verse 15, my prayer is not that you take them. See, he's praying to God. I pray that you not take them out of this world. Don't take them out of their hardships. Don't take them out of their persecutions. Really? Last month we had prayer for the persecuted church Sunday. Do you remember what the man who I recorded his transcript, I wrote it down. He was a Christian in a Muslim world. He was being interviewed by video, and they had him sitting in the dark so that no one could see him and identify him, because what he was sharing about being a Christian could get him killed. And he said this, Christians in non-persecuted countries pray for persecution to end. He said, wait, those of us in persecuted countries don't pray that. We pray, God make us stronger so that we can stand up under persecution. Because as long as there's evilness in this world, there's going to be persecution. Father, do not take them out of the world. Let's continue on, verse 15. My prayer is that you not take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Give them protection. What does that protection look like? Is that don't let them be persecuted? No. It's what that man asked us to pray for. God, strengthen them that they can stand up under it. Jesus came to earth, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed a prayer. Lord, if it's your will, take this, what I'm about to do, away from me. But your will, not mine. Jesus is saying, if I need to go through this, I'm your man. I'm your man. I'll do it. And he did. That's what Jesus is praying for us, for you and me. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it, he says in verse 16. Breakthrough means having an attitude of, I'm here. I'm not trying to escape this place. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation seizes you except what is common to man, and God will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Did you hear that? He will provide a way out. Oh, goody! A way out! Woohoo! No, he will provide a way out. The way out is through the issue until it's resolved. The Greek word picture here in this passage is this. It's a picture of a wooden sailing ship, and it's in very high seas. The waves are batting against the boards of the ship, and water, moving water is powerful. And it's hitting that ship back and forth, and the boards start coming apart. They start leaking. And what the sailors will do when a big storm comes, they don't wait for the ship to start sinking before they do something. What they do is they take their big ropes, and one on each end of the rope, they'll throw the middle of the rope over the front of the ship, let it sink underneath, and hanging on to it, they'll go to the back of the ship, they'll tie that rope over the bow, tie it as tight as they can. And they'll take five or six more ropes and do the very same thing over the length of that ship, tie it up tight over the bow, and that holds that ship together until the storm is done. They provide a way to endure the storm until they get through it. That's the word picture of 1 Corinthians 10:13. I think it's what God does with us. He ties us up. He holds us together through our issues. And so we don't need to escape them. Breakthrough is about bringing your worldview to Jesus. Your worldview is about what you see or view as essential beliefs about you, about others, about God. It's about your values you choose or use to live life. That's your worldview. Your worldview answers questions like this: how did the universe in general come to be, and how did humans in particular come into being? Just that answering that question by Scripture will put you in opposition to a lot of worldviews out there. Why do I exist, and what's the purpose of my life? Where do we go after death? How do I determine what is true and what is not? How do I decide what is good and what is evil? These kind of questions are worldview type of questions. And we are creating a worldview. Every day you read Scripture, you're adding to your worldview. Every Sunday you come to gathering, you are adding to your worldview. Your daily decisions are based on your worldview. What you choose to watch, where you choose to go, or where you choose not to go, what you teach your children, and why you gathered here today is based on your worldview. What you believe to be true. So let's see how you respond to a news article dated yesterday that was relayed to me by the Christian organization, the American Center for Law and Justice, known as ACLJ, with Jay Sukalo, the founder. Many of you know of this organization. According to Newsweek magazine, a taxpayer-funded $3.3 million federal grant has been awarded to schools nationwide to study how participating in Buddhist-based meditation methods called mindfulness stress reduction techniques impacts 3 to 4-year-old children. What do you think of that? Your worldview is causing your response right now. If you think that's awful, you have a worldview that says, no, this is not of God. I don't know about all this. If you say, this is great stuff, I think we should explore other ways of mind control and self-control, then that's your worldview too. So with the other understanding, I put the link to that article on your bulletin. You can go read that Newsweek article yourself. So with the understanding of what a worldview is and does, let's look at another scripture that explains how Christ-centered worldview is developed. 1 John 2:15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Actually, the whole passage is 15 through 17, but I'm just going to read verse 15. 1 John 2:15 says this: do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There it is. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Well, God, there's some good things in the world. Yeah, there are. There's beautiful places to go, scenery we enjoy. There's good people in the world. But that's not what God's talking about. What's being mentioned here is do not love the values, the worldview of the world, because it has set itself up against God and his values. Let's answer this question. How does your worldview impact breakthrough? How you are going to press through something you're going through? What do you think about John's words, do not love the world? What does that mean? John is warning us to beware of embracing the world's values because they will take you in the opposite direction of God's values. The need for breakthrough exists because we have bought into the world's values in some way. That's where sin comes from. I have said yes, I've gone into agreement with a world value somewhere, and the world is selling its goods very convincingly. Be aware. Yes, we are in the world, but we are not to be deceived by its worldview of independence from God, who is really the only source of truth. So let me illustrate breakthrough on the whiteboard here. When we have something we want breakthrough from, let's call that, that's something of the world. That's a value of the world. And God has, or Jesus said in his prayer, we are not of the world. Jesus came to bring a new world called the kingdom of God. Cog. He came to bring a new kingdom, a new place, a new way to live, if you will. Breakthrough means I have something of the world that I have attached to, or it's attached to me, and I haven't really gotten rid of it yet. It's a habit, it's a belief, it's a system I use somehow. And God said, come live over here. Live in the spiritual kingdom. Physical kingdom, spiritual kingdom. This kingdom still lives in the world physically, right? We still live in a physical world. But now we're learning how to live by the spiritual truth of God rather than the physical things that make us feel good. How are we going to live here? When we decide, here's where I need to go, I need to leave the world. My habit that I need to get rid of, I need to leave the world. And leaving the world sounds good, right? We like leaving the world's values behind so we can live fully in Christ, as Scripture tells us, Ephesians chapter 3. But leaving the world, there's some things we need to be aware of. First of all, this journey takes time. It takes time to leave the world. You and I did not establish things that are of the world in us overnight. It came over practice, over time. And it will do the same leaving it. It will take some time. Do not get discouraged. Sometimes we put limits or expectations on ourselves that are not accurate. I should be done with this by now. Or someone who has had some victory and then fall back into an old habit and say, well, it's hopeless. Like the man at the pool. I should be done with this forever. No. The world is always drawing us back. I remember one time with Brady Frazee. I had this elastic band. It was a real long band. And about that wide and probably 6-8 feet long. And I put that around his waist and I said, Brady, I want you to walk away from me. Well, I'm holding the two ends of the band. And he walks away. The first couple of steps were really easy. And he started pretty soon he was pulling, and pretty soon he was really, because that band was trying to do what? Pull him back. And that's what the world is like for us. It's not satisfied. Satan's not satisfied with watching you go. He's going to work at pulling you back. And so give yourself time. Don't put a time limit on this, but put progress on it. That's the next piece. Make progress, not perfection. We're not here to do it perfectly. Nobody does life perfectly. But we can make progress. So make progress. Little baby steps is how we do progress. Don't think you need to make a huge jump. Make progress. I don't care how small, but keep pursuing progress. Another piece that's involved here is this. Grief. When we leave the world, something of the world behind, there is a piece of grief in that. Are you kidding me, Delbert? We should be happy about that. Yeah? Let's be happy that we're leaving something not of God behind. But let's also recognize this. I need someone to come stand up here. They don't have to say a thing. Just stand here. Who will that be? Here he comes. Thank you, Paul. So Paul represents my bad habit. We're both from Elgin. We know what that means. So I have this bad habit. And you know what? This bad habit has helped me navigate through this world and survive. Because life is hard. And this habit, though it is not a healthy one, has kept me alive. It's protected me. But now I hear Jesus asking, do you want to be well? Do you not just want to survive, Delbert? Let's not do survival life. Let's do abundant life. And for me to leave this world, I have to, in a sense, personify, make a person out of that habit and talk to it. And say, bad habit, you have helped me get through this life. But I'm learning now that if I really want to hang on to Jesus, I have to say goodbye to you. And that's not easy. You have been good for me. But keeping you now holds me back. I have to say goodbye. There's a piece of grief in that for me, for you. Thank you, Paul. Give the bad habit a hand. There's We have to say goodbye to things that have truly helped us somehow survive. But Jesus calls us beyond survival life, out of survival life, and into his life, into the kingdom of God as we live in this world. So it's going to take some time. Let's make some progress. And let's understand there's going to be some sadness involved. And if we don't grieve it, guess what we're going to do? We're going to fondly remember those times. And we'll say they weren't that bad. And that's how Satan calls us back. So grieve it. It's a loss. Yes, it is. But say goodbye to it. Okay? It's all a process. And sometimes we need a helper to help us think through this. What does it look like? What should I expect? How can I make this progress? That's all good. Breakthrough is determined by your worldview, what you believe to be true. And if you believe things here are okay, the world's values, it'll be really hard for you to leave, make breakthrough. But if you believe Jesus and all of his word is good for you, and you're not just taking his word piecemeal, I'll take this piece and that piece, but I'm not going to do those too hard, you'll struggle at breakthrough. So Jesus is here for you. And as we close this series today, we're going to sing a song that it's an old, wonderful hymn. And as we sing that song, I want you to look at this diagram here as we sing, because this is what that song is all about that we're about to sing. God's calling you. He's asking you the question, do you want to be well? Let's all say it together. Yes, I want to be well. Okay, then the beginning is believing what Jesus said is true, and it's good for you. And it takes time, progress, and grief to get out of the world into his kingdom. All right. I know this could be maybe a little confusing. If you have questions, please ask me afterward. Let's stand together and sing this good song.